Colossians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. This is the reading of God's Word. Which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you. Also, since the day you heard of it, and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you would bless us, that we may grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let our faith grow, and with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ more and more. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has accomplished for us, and let us give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me remind you that from verse 3 through 12 or 14, we are looking at Paul's thanksgiving prayer. We saw from verses 3 through 5, Paul thanking our God for the faith in Jesus Christ and the love for one another that the Colossian congregation has. And Paul says that their faith and love come from the hope laid in heaven. And that hope is from their hearing of the gospel, the word of truth. And that's where we left off last time. We pick up verse 6 today. Which has come, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also, since the day you heard of it, and understood the grace of God in truth. This gospel came to them by Epaphras. Verse 7 says, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. So Epaphras is the one who brought the gospel to them. We have already seen this. They have heard and understood and they learned the gospel. And this is the primary task of the church. So many people have different ideas what church should be doing. But the primary purpose of the church is to preach and teach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's only through hearing of the word preached and taught, the faith will grow and they will be able to live the life that is pleasing to our God. Today, we are focusing on verse 6. It says that the gospel that they have heard is constantly bearing fruit and increasing in the lives of the Colossians congregation, just as in all the world. Now, verse 6 brings so much joy to us, if we truly understand what it's saying. We could see what God is doing even today. See, the true gospel is the effective gospel. It bears fruits and it increases. The gospel always accomplishes its purpose. Isaiah 55 verse 11, God says, "So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." Even when the hearer does not believe, outwardly it seems like the gospel is not effective. But even when the hearer does not believe, it still accomplished its purpose. Every time God's word is uttered, it either blesses or brings judgment upon the hearer. Those who do not believe the word of God will be judged according to that very word that they rejected. So even in that person, it is effective. See, those who do not believe the word of God will be judged according to that very word they reject. The word of God, the gospel, accomplishes faith, love, and hope that we have been looking at last few weeks. And faith also includes the repentance. But you see, the Word of God accomplishes all these things. It's like when you look at Genesis, look at the whole world. It is accomplished by His words. And the new creation is the same way. It is by His words. And if you want to know the power of God's Word, and then what we have in the Bible is His word. It's as if He spoke these words. So the picture we have is that God breathed out these words from His mouth. But just understand how powerful that His word is. When God said, "Let there be light," let there be whole universe. He just spoke. And there is. That's how powerful His word is. And that same word is what accomplishes the new creation. Salvation. And we must understand this. But when you look around, it seems that God's word is so weak. It is so ineffective because it seems like the whole world is rejecting it. It's not because God's word is not powerful, but like what it says, God's word brings not only the blessings, but also the judgment. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The word of God is living and active, it says. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. See, it is the word of God that accomplished this. And on the side, look at, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for not only teaching, but also reproof and for correction. Nowadays, you know, through a sermon, pastor wants to correct your, you know, sinful acts or reproof. They don't like it. But that's what scripture does. That's what God's word does. It's not just telling you love, love, love. But God truly hates your sin. How much he hates it? Well, he's even willing to kill his own son. He will not spare his own son. But scripture will convict us of our sins so that we may repent. God's word is profitable for us, so that God's people may be adequate and equipped. And this is what the word of God accomplishes. The word of God will bear fruits and increase in the lives of those who hear with faith. God, through the ministry of His church, causes His people to grow. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The Holy Spirit, through God's Word, using God's Word, works in us so that we bear fruit and we grow. Paul says that their faith, love, and hope came from hearing of God's Word. But according to verse 8, their love is the love in the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit by the work of the Holy Spirit in His people. Always through and by the word of God. See, whenever Holy Spirit works, He uses God's word. So that through that word, you and I, as we hear it, He causes us to believe it, and with that faith, we grow. Grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's not about you going out and, you know, training yourself, doing this or doing that. But it's about His Word. If you are able, show me in the Bible any event or any word of His that says that you grow by your experience, that your faith will grow by your experience. You will not find it. Because faith comes from hearing the word of God. And it's only by His word. See, this is why our church is so all about Bible studies. Because it's by His Word. I mean, if it is by something else, then I would do that with you. Then I would just go out and do whatever to become more mature Christian. But you study the Bible. Bible is very clear. It's only by the Word of God. So you must take it very seriously. You must read it, meditate it upon, and you must hear it. You must study it. You cannot just come to Sunday worship and just hear one sermon and you think you're going to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Of course, that's very, very important that you do that. But rest of 6 days, if you ignore His word, that's just not God's way. It's not about you determining, you know, all by yourself, okay, I'm going to be good. Then somehow that will make you a good Christian. That's not how it is. Sanctify them by truth, and your word is truth, he says. It's by his word. Just like the whole creation. It's all by his word. So like I said, you know, if you could picture, see like Genesis 1, if you read that, you know, first chapter, God says, let there be light, and you could picture it, right? Pfft, there's light. Instantaneously, like, pfft, there's light. It's just like it. But if you could stretch, let's say when God said, let there be light, and it took half second for light to appear. Half second. But if you could, in your head, stretch that half second to 80 years. That's what is happening in your life. God says, be like my son. And he says the same thing in so many different ways. Be like my son, Jesus Christ, he commands you his word. Then 80 years later, you will be like his son. But if you could now, instead of stretching that half second to 80 years, you could compact that 80 years to half a second. So it's like God says to you, be like my son, Jesus Christ, and poof, you are. That's what God is doing in slow motion. 80 years, 90 years, but that's what he's doing. He's speaking, and his will is being done. Do you understand what is really going on? So you hear his word every Sunday, every Friday, every time we study together the Bible, you hear. But it's just like Genesis 1. God says it, and it's done. That's what your life is all about. The Holy Spirit, through God's word, using God's word, work in us so that we may bear fruits and we grow. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit, but it is work of the Holy Spirit always by and through God's word. Thus in Galatians, God teaches us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All is by the work of the Holy Spirit through God's word. And we have absolute confidence that the work of the Holy Spirit is 100% effective. Even though you out there and me also, every time I say you, I'm always included. I'm not better than you. We try our best. I mean, I shouldn't say we try, but nevertheless, we show how Holy Spirit, God is not effective. Because if we look at your life and my life, we have to conclude, if God is working in me and working in you, you have to say, man, God is not doing that great job. Look at how he is. Look at how she is. But you have to understand that he is effective. See, everything that God does right now in the New Testament time, it's not visible. It's something you must believe. So you must believe that he is working in you. That's what the Bible says. And he is making you more and more like Christ every single moment. And you must trust that. Even though you might look at yourself and going, wait a minute, I don't think God is working. Or at least like he's taking a vacation or something. But no, you have to trust him. God says in Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's his promise. And you could trust him. Well, if God is so effective, then question is, then for some hearers, why? For some hearers, the gospel seems so ineffective. Why is that? Well, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, they meaning the Old Testament people, the who wandered around the desert for 40 years. So it says that we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard, Old Testament people, they heard these words. Man, Moses preached every day. I don't know whether he did every day, but you know what I mean. He did preach. But the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. It wasn't that the word of God is not effective, but these people, they did not, when they hear, they did not unite their hearing with their faith. They did not trust God. Whatever the Bible says, they rejected. They did not trust him. They did not believe. And without faith, of course, their faith will never grow. They will never grow to that mature Christian. So God tells us why that the gospel seems so not effective in these people. See, only the Holy Spirit is able to enable the hearers to hear the gospel united by faith. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that will enable us to hear it with faith so that it will be profitable for us. Now, Mark chapter 4, it's the parable of sower. You know, the sower went out and you know, put, he sowed seeds. And it says there, the seeds are God's word in this parable. And chapter 4, verse 8 says, other seeds fell into the good soil. You know, it tells us there were four different soils that it speaks of, and the three are the non-Christian soil, so to speak. Their hearts are not regenerated. So soil, even the seed was sowed, it didn't produce any fruits. But it says the word of God, Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And verse 20 says, and those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. The good soil, the heart and the mind in which the Holy Spirit is working, is fruitful. But in the same parable, Jesus tells us about the opposite of that. Mark chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. And they have no firm root, even though seed was sown, there's no strong root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, this bad soil, if you will, that did not produce fruits. And you might say, oh, those are the non-Christians who are outside the church. No, that's not what it says. It says, actually, they heard God's word. Now, these people who never come to church, they're not going to hear God's word. Just like the Old Testament times, these Israelites, even though they're God's people, truly they were not. Same thing. These people heard, it says. They heard the word. But what? But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for many other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Why is it not fruitful? Well, one, you don't hear it with faith, that you just don't believe what you hear. The other, that your focus is on this world. God says to seek the things above, not the things of the world. So these things, it says, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. See, brothers and sisters, we must unite the word of God that we bear with faith, and we must obey. We must hear, not bear, hear with faith, and we must obey. The lives of these true Christians are described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescued us from the wrath to come. So these people who heard it and they trust God, what do? Well, they were waiting for God's Son, Jesus Christ, from heaven. That their focus is now on heaven and Jesus Christ. So you could see from what Paul says that their faith was growing, and then more and more people came to faith. See, they turn to God and serve God and wait for His Son from heaven. They do not set their hearts on this world or the things of this sinful world. John chapter 15, verse 4 through 5 says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, when God says you cannot do anything apart from Jesus Christ, you might object to that. Well, he's talking about doing the things that will please God. Those things. Apart from Christ, no one is able to do. And go down to verse 7 and 8. "You abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." So, how can we be fruitful? Well, that His Word abides in us. That we abide in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of our God. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." People without faith, why do they reject what the Bible says? Because it sounds foolish. You know how foolish it sounds, you must understand. So when you go out and trying to evangelize, you need to understand that whatever you say, if you say it clearly according to the Bible, it will sound foolishness to them. I mean, even all this live having your focus on the things you cannot see. I mean, how foolish this is to the world. Man, this world is all about here and now. But Bible says, no, it's about heaven. They will never accept this. Unless you change the gospel saying that, oh yeah, God will give you this world. Oh, then even non-Christian will want to believe it. But see, God understands how foolish it sounds. He says it, that it is foolishness to those who are perishing. Yeah, I know. See, I have to keep preaching this gospel to you. This is my life. And I need to preach it as it says. Because I'm not seeking your approval as you are not seeking my approval. Only approval that we're seeking is God's. So whether people don't want to hear it or reject it, we continue to preach the true gospel. Because it is the power of God for we who are being saved. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is foolishness to this sinful world because it speaks of the sufferings and death. Because what is the cross? We say, you know, cross, the glory. Really? When you see cross, do you see glory? Do you truly see it? You should. But to the world, it's just criminal dying because of their crimes. That's what cross was back then. And here is the Savior of the world dying on the cross. How foolish is that? You think about that. And it speaks of suffering. It speaks of death. But we say it's the glorious. Jesus, right before his death, he says, it's time for me to receive the glory. And he's referring to the cross. The world will never understand, nor will it desire it or accept it. They will do everything to avoid suffering and death. Now welcome suffering and death because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, you come to Jesus and Jesus says, oh, because now you believe in me, you will suffer. And you go, wait a minute, that's not why I came to you. But that's how it is. God says, the world persecuted me, so the world will persecute you. The world didn't change. And how they treated Jesus Christ, that's how they're going to treat you. If you clearly show that you are a Christian and you say the things the Bible says, oh, believe me, people will hate you. Nowadays, it's so hard to say the truth. You can, you know, just go out and just say, like, homosexuality is sin. That's over for you now. They will hate you. But that's what the Bible says. And so many Christians are now afraid to say the truth because of persecutions and suffering. And believe me, there will be persecutions and sufferings if you think about this. If I say out there, homosexuality is sin, and I'm not saying let's hate homosexuals, because to me, they're as same sinful as we are. And I don't mind homosexuals coming to our church and wants to be our member, as long as he acknowledges that that is sin and that he says, I'll try to not sin, but I fail because of my weakness, then I will treat that person same as I treat you because you sin. And you try not to sin, but because you're weak, you sin again. What is the difference? I don't see any difference. But homosexuality is sin. That's the fact. And if I say that out there, do you think that even if I have a billion member church, do you think I will be accepted to White House when I say that kind of stuff? No way. But we speak the truth. And we're not seeking anybody's approval. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke the truth, and the world killed him. I expect what kind of treatment, I know what kind of treatment that we will receive in this world. But the gospel is working in our lives, in individual Christians, We are bearing fruits and we are growing individually. But Paul also says that the gospel is bearing fruits and growing just as in all the world. You see, God is furthering his kingdom even now. The gospel is being preached. It is spreading throughout the whole world. This is exactly according to his command to the churches. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Even to the remotest part of the earth. And he says that even as his church goes to the remotest part of the earth, he will be with his church, even to the end of ages. Which means that it is Jesus Christ who will go to the remotest part of the earth. It is his work. It is his ministry. And he uses his church in his ministry, his work. See, Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 says, God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Jesus Christ is ultimately fulfilling that command. The remotest part of the earth, meaning the Gentiles. His kingdom is fruitful and multiplying and is being filled with his people. Even though the first Adam failed to obey the command in Genesis, the second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, he completely fulfills it. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let me end with this. That same gospel came to you. Colossians 1:23, "If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven and of which I, Paul, was made a minister." Romans 1:8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole earth, whole world." Romans 10, verse 18, "But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." Romans 16, 19, "For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore I am rejoicing over you, but I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil." The kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, is furthering even today. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32, "He presented another parable to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and is smaller than all other seeds, but when he is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air came and nest is in its branches.'" That's the parable of the kingdom of God, heaven. It's growing. It's furthering. Matthew 13, 33, "He spoke another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened.'" You know how bread becomes bigger and bigger? Yeah, the kingdom of God is growing. The leaven, the yeast, it symbolizes 2 things in the Bible. One negative and the other positive. Negatively, it symbolizes sin. So Paul says, clean out the old leaven. Get rid of the old leaven. But here's given the new leaven, which is Jesus Christ, the gospel. And with this leaven, it's like if you want to picture the whole world as a bread and you put leaven, Jesus Christ and gospel. And his kingdom is getting bigger. Brothers and sisters, everybody that God has chosen before the foundation of the universe will be saved. Everybody. God will not fail. His gospel will never fail. The gospel will save all those that God intended to save. And you are the witness of that truth because you are saved. Bear fruits and grow. See, this is our present reality in Jesus Christ. Even though you might not see that in your life, trust Him. You are growing, and you are being fruitful. And you know, when you judge these things, you cannot judge it according to the standards of this world. Because standard of this world is all about success in this world. Somehow you need to be successful even to talk about how much you have grown or how mature you are and whatever. But that's not how God sees it. Trust Him. And, you know, the world might judge your life as not so valuable, but to God, it truly is valuable when you trust God and when you desire to obey His will. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace, Your love. Thank You for Your Word. And we thank You that it is through that word that we are being sanctified. And Father, we thank You that even now Your Spirit is working in us with Your word so that we may grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also we thank You that Holy Spirit through Your church, through Your word, spreading, furthering Your kingdom even now to the whole world. Oh Father, we thank You that everything is according to Your will. We love You, God, and let us know You more and more. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.